Hi everyone, and welcome back to Safe Space, the Safe in Our World podcast. For those who don't know, the main goal of Safe in Our World is to create and foster worldwide mental health awareness within the video games industry. My name is Rosie, and today I am joined by JJ Fox. JJ is an indie game developer currently working on Himble Ventures, which is a 3D puzzle platformer that is currently on our website, so please go and check it out. JJ is also a fan of cosplaying kung fu and heavy metal. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me on here.
Thank you for joining me. And we'll pretend that I haven't had to do this intro a couple of times because of the cats running around.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So thank you for bearing with me. So for those listening, the theme for our content this month is neurodiversity. And this podcast specifically is going to be looking at JJ's experiences and autism and how it links with mental health. So welcome to the podcast. And yeah, thank you for joining.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Of course. And I should have said, JJ is one of our Class of 2023 ambassadors as well.
Yeah, that's right. Exciting.
It is exciting. And it's really nice to have a class, like an annual class. So it's it's really cool to see the first 25 people come through. It's lovely.
Yeah, and I heard that like hundreds of people applied. It's crazy.
Yeah. So well done, first of all, because it was a really difficult process.
Thank you so much.
To have to go through everyone. It was really hard. We spent a lot of time doing it. So yeah, it's
I had to download my answers. You know, when I filled in the form, I had to ask for them back.
Oh, so yeah, I remember that.
read them over again.
Yeah, no, 100%. But no, you absolutely smashed it. So well done.
Yeah, I feel proud to have what I've written.
You should. You've got such amazing experience. And like, we're going to talk about it a little bit in this podcast about your game, because it's incredibly important. I think it's very, you don't see a lot of games talk about neurodiversity.
And exactly.
So it's amazing to be able to see those come together as one and provide like an educational experience as well as a fun game to play. So
yeah, my biggest goal is to create a game that's more meaningful, like has powerful messages. Mm-hmm. And to make neurodiverse people feel a bit more validated.
Exactly. I love it. And it's honestly like, so part of my job is to look for games that are relevant to each theme for the month. And this one has been a challenge because there are not many games that are made specifically for neurodiverse people or specifically targeting like storylines that cross over. Please tell me, because I'm looking for more.
There is this game that is currently in the works. I think it's coming out next year. My guess, yeah, it's confirmed next year on Steam. It's called Billy Bust Up.
Ooh, okay.
It is confirmed that the main character Billy has ADHD, and one of the bosses is on the autism spectrum.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's a 3D platform game. It's also a musical, so. Every attack is to the beat of a song. It looks really fun. I recommend you checking it out, Billy Bust Up.
Okay, noted. I've got it open in another tab. It looks adorable, first of all. So,
yeah. Yes.
Oh my gosh, I'm so here for this. Right, that is you've helped me very much in that respect. So
also,
thank you.
You're very welcome. The creators are neurodiverse as well.
I think that's important as well, because like, there has to be authenticity in this. Like, it can't just be, I think if you're going to be telling stories about people's experiences, I think the people who are also experiencing that need to be part of that process to make it real and ethical.
Yeah, that's what I want in my game.
Uh-huh. So tell me about your game, because obviously we've highlighted it on the website before. It's called Himble Ventures, but tell me a little bit more about like the inspirations behind it and what the process has been for you so far, I guess.
Well, the inspiration comes from, well, my imagination. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so growing up, I would escape, well, I used platform games as a form of an escapism. So I grew up playing Spyro the Dragon and Crash Bandicoot.
Classic games, yep.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, they are my huge influence on Himble Ventures. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of people say it reminds them of Crash Bandicoot. Oh. I mean, you're absolutely right. Like, how did you guess?
It's a great comparison there. It's a good hook.
Yeah. Speaking of when I said earlier about based on my own fiction, so I would just, during my teenage years, I would just make up my own stories, make up my own little world, my own canon.
Yep.
Yeah, so, and I'm bringing these characters to life in a game. I thought games are more fun, and now that they're becoming, well, they reach out to people more
yeah,
now.
Yeah, they're more immersive, I think, than anything. Because they bring the players in to be able to experience the story with them.
Yeah, and I thought I'll use games as a medium to portray my fictional universe.
Mm-hmm. So what is in your fictional universe? Tell me more.
So the characters, they're all, most of them are aliens. Most of them are anthropomorphic animals. So there's like a theory behind it that they created a new planet to colonize it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, every animal is forced to evolve into an anthropomorphic state.
Oh.
They're all gifted with the supernatural powers. So in society, you have to utilize some elemental powers, natural powers. Yeah, and it's all for the common good. Sort of like Pokemon.
Okay.
Yeah, everyone's gifted with a power for the common good.
Crash Bandicoot / Pokemon / aliens. That is Himble Ventures.
I feel like an alien most times.
Yeah.
Not offensively.
No, how so?
I've been saying this to myself loads of times as a child. I always say to myself, I feel like I come from another planet. And then once I've read some autism books, so I can remember reading one about featured cats,
mm-hmm.
cats and autism. Like there was a page in the picture book where it says that the cat feels like they come from another planet. I mean, that's so me. I've been so legit what I've been saying to myself throughout growing up.
Yeah. And so with these like special powers that you get in the game, am I right in thinking that they're supposed to be like representative of hypersensitivities within autism?
Well, with Himble, yes. So in the story, like Himble's abilities are categorized as mental powers, and mental powers are kind of shunned in society. The story gets a bit political and a bit dark.
No, it's important though.
Yeah, so Himble has enhanced perception, and they channel their enhanced perception into like energy, like forms of energy.
Okay.
Like shapes.
What do you think for you then are some of the biggest challenges that autistic people face when working in games, or like working as a game developer, or just within the industry in general?
I can share with my experiences in the games industry.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, every day you'll have to go to a meeting. Sometimes there's something in autism that makes you think, like, when is it my turn to speak? So sometimes I just like step back, as I'm not industry standard as they are, and just probably take it all in a bit slowly.
Yeah. And so do you think like meetings are, there could be a lot more done with meetings to accommodate neurodiverse people instead of, because I feel like there's just what kind of one for a lot of companies, there's just like one set way of doing things and that's it, and everyone else kind of has to just work around it. Do you feel the same way?
Well, I found that once we go around like each and every person asking them what they're doing, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because that means I get to speak.
So having like dedicated time that you know is your time to be able to talk about what you're doing is important.
Yeah, well, pretty much, yes.
Yeah.
I've found at times where the manager will talk like normal to everyone else, like casually, like it's a normal chat. Yeah, and when it's just a one-to-one with me and the manager, it's their mood changes. Yeah, so I'm not spoken to like a normal person. It's like I'm at secondary school again.
That's horrible. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I get spoken to in like a cold, stern manner. Like, I don't want to be treated differently from everyone else.
It's horrid. Like, I hate the fact that you've had to go through that. And it makes me sad because it's such, like, it shouldn't be a difficult thing to make everybody feel welcome and treat everybody with the same respect in the workplace. And if anything, I just think it highlights how important having training for managers and awareness around neurodiversity and around autism can help people maybe not be cold and make people feel like they don't belong.
At least they got me support from Access to Work. Speaking with a lady from Access to Work was really nice.
Mm-hmm. What does she provide?
Well, if there was anything going wrong with interaction between me and my manager, I'd tell her.
Okay.
I've been so focused on trying to get things right. She was very pleasant to talk to.
That's good. It's nice to be able to have like someone who's on your side, I guess, in that respect. Especially if you don't feel like you can talk to your manager about things. So what do you think you would like to see then from employers to be able to accommodate people better, especially autistic people, and like allowing them to be able to thrive at work and feel like they're welcomed and supported and part of the team?
Just don't have a problem with the way they communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, and that was one of the reasons why, like, one of the main reasons why I'd get kicked out.
Because you communicate differently?
Yes.
Thing is, I don't understand why that is seen as a bad thing. Because, like, surely, especially in this sort of creative industry, communication should never just be one specific way.
Yeah, I don't care how people do it. And I've just been talking like normal, just being myself.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't comfortable with being, like, you know, put on the spot.
Put on the spot? How so, do you mean?
Like, if I ask for help, it just feels like I'm being quizzed.
Oh, okay, I see. Yeah.
Yeah, and I try to explain myself, but I just didn't, like... Yeah, and I get interrupted. Like, stop there. There's a problem.
What, before you've, like, finished?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I found that very rude.
It is rude.
Yeah, and just answer the question, please.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, how do you think people can better communicate between neurodivergent and neurotypical people?
Just behave the same way you do with the other non-neurodiverse employees.
Mm-hmm, totally. But do you think sometimes there might be ways to embrace differences in communication rather than treat everybody the same? And what I mean is, be able to celebrate our differences and work in different ways so we can thrive, rather than like treating everybody the same in terms of we all need to communicate in this way.
Some people prefer like written typing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's how I've always done that with some of my clients, and also some collaborators I'm speaking with for the game, because we're remaking it.
Okay,
we've always done it written because some of us will have like a brain overload.
Yeah, that makes sense. I have to say I prefer or like, even if you're not communicating written in the beginning, having a written thing afterwards to be able to confirm what was said and what the actions are and stuff like that, I think is really important, because I get so, and I don't really know what my brain is neurodiversity wise, I really don't. But I think that it can be really easy to just get so overwhelmed that I don't remember anything about the meeting and get really lost in terms of like what's next.
Like, we all get distracted by our work. I felt at times where I had to excuse myself for being autistic.
Which you should never have to do.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, sorry, I go off on a tangent at times. Sorry, I get hyper fixated. I have to excuse myself for those things. It was horrible.
No. I think explaining is fine, but never excusing. You shouldn't have to apologize for who you are.
Yeah, I just felt at times that the manager just didn't want to waste time supporting autism.
But I guess that can be applied to anything, right? Because it's like with mental health, for example, it is not always a straight line to productivity. And investing in people is surely more important than investing in the process that you need to be able to get things done, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. It just makes me feel like I've failed in society.
And that breaks my heart, honestly. Because you've made a game. Are you kidding me? Like,
duh.
That's huge. I, like, the fact that you're making a game that actually means something is a huge testament to itself. And you should be so bloody proud of yourself. Oh my gosh, like, I don't know.
Exactly. I'm just glad there was, after, when I said kicked out, I meant there was a probation period.
Right.
Yeah. And he didn't want to pass me because he couldn't communicate with me.
So instead of actually improving on his communication skills, you just failed. That is really disappointing, honestly.
Even when I tried and I've just, when I was given feedback, I worked towards the feedback and I focused on that more than anything. And after that, he was like, I still can't communicate with you.
I mean, it has to be a two-way street. Like, there has to be a balance to be able to find a way to, like, it's not like an enigma that can't be solved, you know? So yeah, I'm sorry that that's happened to you. That's horrid.
Sorry. Yeah, I just, after after that, and I just went into the kitchen and self-harmed.
That's horrid. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to interact with the rest of the team.
That's just, oh my gosh. It just makes me so angry.
Yeah, just that's all I want, is to be part of a group, not singled out.
Of course.
Like I'm a problem. I was treated like I was a problem.
And you should never, that should never happen. I wish there was something I could say to like even make it better, but there's nothing really I can say, I guess.
Yeah, after so many years of improving, making friends, getting better at the basic social skills, this happens.
Do you feel like you're in a better place now?
Yeah, working on my own projects, and I'm managing well to start with. I've went on to Reddit and found some freelancers, and it feels like I'm managing a team.
That's great.
But I'm a lot nicer.
What do you mean, like to work with, or just in general?
Well, in general as well, and also to work with. So I allow everyone to say their ideas. I'm not domineering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so everyone's validated. So if they've got the experience that I don't know, then please, by all means, share them. I encourage everyone to share ideas and experiences and knowledge.
Yeah, and I think that's an important part of the process and being able to work as a team that people often forget. It's that everyone will bring a different set of skills and a knowledge base to a conversation, no matter where they are or what place they have in the team. And having everyone's voice at least be listened to and heard is such an easy thing to be able to implement, but has such positive effects on well-being and feeling like you belong.
Yeah, I remember, I really wanted to be part of a team. I wanted to build like healthy work relationships. That's what I wanted.
But now you're doing that on your own basis, by the sounds of it, with your freelance team.
Yeah, exactly. And just I remember being told that at first I wanted to join some other meetings in the afternoon or do any events. And then I was told, let's get your communication right first.
Get it right? As if it was wrong? Like, wait.
Like it was, there's still always something wrong with me.
No, it's just different.
Exactly. Why can't people just take that into consideration?
I don't know. But I hope that people do start to consider that and bring it on board. And even like doing podcasts like this is really important, so that people who are listening who might not have understood this before can get a little bit of a sense of why they need to listen and why they need to be more inclusive within the workplace. I wanted to talk about a bit more generically about awareness around autism, because do you think, like, first of all, I guess this is two questions in one. Do you think that awareness is getting better in general, like in society? And do you think awareness around autism is getting better?
Well, I still think it should get better.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of the top of my head. Because in what terms? Like workplaces?
Yeah, I would say in workplaces. Do you think that people are more aware of what autism is and how they can better accommodate people?
There still needs to be more awareness. Still needs.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I have a feeling, because I am aware that some game industries can be toxic environments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So I doubt that there'll be proper autism acceptance.
Yes.
And I've done my research. So like a very, very minimum of people on the autism spectrum are employed.
Do you know the statistic?
Disabled people who are autistic were among those disabled people with the lowest employment rate. Mm-hmm. Just 22% of autistic adults are in some kind of paid employment, compared to the 80% of non-disabled people and 47% of disabled people.
Wow.
16% of autistic adults are in full-time paid employment, and 40% are working part-time and want to work more hours. 77% of unemployed autistic adults want employment.
I had no idea that the statistics were that low. Did you say 16% of autistic adults are in full-time employment?
Yes, that's what it says on the document. Some barriers of employment are negative attitudes or low expectations, skills and qualification gaps for people with a learning disability. But honestly, that does not apply to autism at all. But just society likes to classify autism as a learning disability, and I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure some others might not like it either.
Yeah, of course. Well, if it's misinformation.
Yeah, and I still get these special, from doctors, I still get these explanations about my appointment in like picture forms. Like, I can read words. I'm capable of that. I just don't need anything simplified for me. It's ridiculous because I can do things.
It shouldn't be generalized. And that kind of leads on to my next question, I suppose, which is like, do you think there are common misunderstandings around autism and stigmas that just aren't true?
I still think there are.
Do you have any examples?
Have you heard of the film called Music?
No.
Well, it was directed by Sia, the music artist.
Oh, yes. Actually, no, I do know. Yeah. Yeah, I know exactly where you're going with this, but please continue.
Yeah, Sia got inspiration from Autism Speaks, and she watched videos of autistic children having tantrums. And yeah, that makes me speechless. This is not right.
No. I think for those listening, Autism Speaks is an incredibly harmful organization.
Yeah, Autism Speaks is still existent.
Yeah, for context, they treat autism as if it's something that they need to cure or to fix, rather than...
Like, are they out of their minds?
I really don't know. I don't understand
why
they have an organization built on hate. But I would highly recommend that anyone does not support Autism Speaks have any, like, or gain knowledge or not knowledge about autism based on that movie.
Yeah, I did read up on Autism Speaks. So did some research on YouTube, and there's just an organization that care so much about the money rather than helping people.
That's so disappointing.
Exactly. And I think all I can do really is just support myself.
Yeah.
Like, be my own support, and then some people will come naturally.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You don't have to be alone in it though, and being able to come on into a podcast and talk about this and be vulnerable is huge. And I think it will help a lot of other people as well. So thank you.
You're welcome. I also have a lovely group of friends on the autism spectrum. Like, we're just fine. We have normal jobs. We can socialize. And also, as we mentioned before, like, I'm a big fan of cosplay.
Yes, I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite characters that you've cosplayed as?
Fan Tokyo from Billy Bust Up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's these characters from like webisodes made by Vivzy Pop called Has-Been Hotel and Hell of a Boss.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so we've done lots of cosplays of characters from there. And amazing. It's just like something special to us as a friendship group. Oh, it's just crazy.
So do you do like group cosplays within your friendship group?
We do, yes. And there's a sort of role play, and I mean that in terms of like pretending to be the characters, like being in character.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a lot of fun. We just like channel ourselves into being fictional characters, and it's a form of escapism, like having fun with fantasy.
Yeah, totally. I love that.
That's what brought us together.
Oh, amazing. So did you meet at like a convention or online or something?
Both.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's the best decision I've made in my life.
I feel like it's so important to be able to find like your people who you know are just like accepting of who you are. You have the same interests, like you can just get along with this sort of thing. Like, it's so nice to be able to have a community of people that just love you, you know?
Yeah, to be honest, I can't trust any other charities at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, just when I'm thinking about Autism Speaks.
Yeah, it's a huge betrayal of trust, I think, from them.
Exactly.
And a lot of people don't know about it.
Well, hopefully we'll get everyone to know.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's about. It's, yeah. I just appreciate your candidness, I guess. We've talked about cosplay. I also wanted to touch on games specifically, because you've mentioned Billy Buster. Are there any, like, autistic characters from games that really resonate with you? Outside of that?
Well, I've heard from Overwatch, the character Symmetra is arguably on the autism spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's obsessed with creating. Like, she's sort of a creative character. Yeah, and she's a bit of a perfectionist as well. So I think that comes from the hyperfixation of trying to get things right.
Yeah. Can you explain a little bit more for people listening, maybe what hyperfixation is?
It's just when you're so into, so you're sort of like a geek who's obsessed. Obsessed with one particular subject, and also you don't manage your time properly. Your mind is just absorbed into this one particular subject, and also a task as well. So when I'm working on my game, I don't think about like having lunch or having a break.
Have you been able to like build stuff into that to make you remember, like or is it just something you'd kind of deal with?
My New Year's resolution was to manage my time better.
That is a hard resolution to make though.
Yeah, my mum's been supportive of that. So for Christmas I had timers and clocks to put on my desk, and that helps when I am distracted from my work. It's there just to let me know when time's up.
Yeah. No, that's understandable. Like, I found this app the other day called Virtual Cottage, which is kind of like, it's meant to help you focus more on like time-based things. And so it has a timer up on the screen, and it's on Steam. It's like a free resource. It's on our website as well. Would recommend. It's kind of like you can have to-do lists, you can set timers, you can change the weather and stuff, and it has like lo-fi sort of relaxing music as well, and I found that really
helpful. I love
lo-fi. Yeah, me too, because it's like I don't have to think about like lyrics or anything. It's just like very relaxing, but it keeps going, and it has been so helpful for me to be able to like actually focus on a task if I really need to get something done by a certain time. Like, that has been amazing for me, so I would highly recommend having a look at that.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now on Steam. Yeah, it just looks very relaxed.
It's very cute. You can also change whether you want a cat or a dog. It's adorable.
Well, I'd go for a dog personally.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know, I feel like I'd switch around, depends on the day. But you can also have like snow and stuff outside, so it's very atmospheric.
Yeah, so it's not like it's like registered to the daily forecast, and it'll just generate snow for you if it was snowing today.
Yeah, or you can like change it. So if you want it to be snowing and it's not.
Yeah, the world is all yours.
Exactly. The power is in your hands with the weather. It's delightful.
Yeah, I personally find it comforting when it's raining, like you're indoors and it's raining outside, that you're safe.
Yes, 100%. There's one, so you can have rain and then there's a fire as well. And so it's like the perfect amount of cozy sort of vibes if you want that. I frequently listen to like rain sounds to go to sleep because I find a lot of comfort in that.
Yeah, especially for an introvert, I'm like, yay, I don't have to go out today.
Yeah, I'll trick myself into thinking it's raining so I don't have to leave the house.
Yeah.
So one question, or one final question for you, I suppose. How does your autism connect with your mental health?
At times I do get anxiety, social anxiety really, because I mean, being autistic, I can be literal at times, or say things in the wrong context, go off contact. Yeah, and I didn't want to mess it up. Like, I want to maintain good friendships. So, and then I question myself, did I do it right? Yeah, social anxiety is one thing. And then there's also a bit of depression as well. Mm-hmm. You try so hard in society, but still you feel a bit shunned, underestimated. And there comes a sort of existential crisis. Like, what's the point? What's the point in even trying when all that happens is like they're not interested.
Yeah, no, I get that, and I'm sorry that it's made you feel that way, because everyone should feel accepted in society, and it's frustrating that it's not the case, especially for neurodivergent people, for autistic people, for mentally ill people. Like, there's always something, isn't there, that people are kind of like, oh, I'm going to treat them a little bit differently because I don't understand it, instead of actually just asking them, you know.
If we change people's attitudes, then we won't make enemies out of people. We won't bring out the worst in people. It's society that's making an enemy out. Can't make an enemy out of marginalised people.
No.
Because, it's not their fault.
No, of course not. We need to be able to foster a society that's accepting.
Exactly. And it's not my fault.
No, of course it's not. It shouldn't have to fall to you to educate people on being a better human being. By accepting people who are different. Like, it's frustrating that seems to be something that's expected.
Like, I can be a better person on my own. I just need the right guidance.
What do you mean by a better person?
Just a healthy, happy person.
Right.
Not better in that case.
Yeah.
So maintaining friendships, not being isolated most of the time.
Just being supported.
Yeah, really. Like, we are... Like, I am actually a human being.
It's the bare minimum, really, that you're asking for.
Yeah, it's not a lot.
So, kind of final question, because I keep thinking of more. What would you say to people who wanted to be a better ally to autistic people?
Well, just accept that I can... Well, there are traits about me that shouldn't be taken as an offence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you see me, like, fiddling or twitching, it's just, please be aware that, it's nothing against anyone. It's called stimming.
Yep.
Yeah, so if I'm fiddling a lot or don't make eye contact, it's not that I'm not interested, it's just how my brain works. But I do care, honestly, I do care.
Yeah, of course. I think it's just that thing, isn't it, that everyone kind of sees that behavior as being disinterested, whereas actually it's just different. Like, and there's not everyone shows interest in the same sort of way. Yeah,
and if I come across as quiet, don't take it personally.
Yeah, of course.
Or echolalia. If I repeat things, if I'm repeating things all the time, that's probably my way of trying to learn things quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Or that I'm just so into this TV series that it makes a lot of good references, just keeps me distracted.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. And final question, and then I promise I will let you have your day back.
Okay.
Where can people learn more about Himble Ventures, about what you're up to?
You guys can find me on Twitter. It's called Himble Ventures, under the name of JJ Fox, with a couple of alien emojis surrounding the name. So we've also got a Patreon. The link is attached to the Twitter profile, but it's also the same name, patreon.com/himbleventures. And we've also got an Instagram with the same name, Himble Ventures. So
perfect.
It's that simple.
Himble Ventures everywhere. I will put links in the description of the podcast as well. So if anyone would
forever.
Like to find it, it will be Himble Ventures forever. But you can also follow the journey on Safe in Our World's website, mm-hmm. because we have covered that on our related games and apps page. So please do keep an eye out for that. And yeah, thank you so much for joining me and being so honest and open about your experiences and for talking with me.
You're very welcome.
Amazing. Well, that
so is... this is where I say goodbye.
You can say goodbye, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Have a nice day.
Perfect. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Safe Space. If you're struggling, please know that there is support out there. And if you're looking for somewhere to start, please do visit our website at safeinourworld.org for a list of global helplines, information and support. You can also find us on all of the social medias at Safe in Our World if you'd like to follow the charity in our future endeavours. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.